Okay, what do you see? What do you see? Speak to David. A face. Yeah. Looks like one of those sort of North American Indian faces, doesn't it? With the nose and the chin and the hair. But can you see the Eskimo?
Yes.
Yeah. You can see the Eskimo as well. Could you see both of them?
Yes.
Oh, good. You're obviously very perspicacious. That's not a bad thing on a Sunday morning, but don't worry. It depends where you focus, doesn't it? It depends where you look first. If you look down the left side of the picture, you are immediately drawn to the nose and the mouth, which suggests that this sort of odd head that you might be seeing sculpted out of big stones. But if you look down the centre of the picture, you then begin to realise there are some feet, hands, and a head. But it just depends where you look at on the picture. Let's try this one. And that's not me before I had a shave. What do you see? Okay, let's do it this way. Whose first thing you saw was the head of the man with a beard? Yep. Okay. Can you see the man riding the horse? Can you see the figure lying down covered in a blanket? So we can see all of it. But it depends where you look, doesn't it? And as it's Palm Sunday, the title of my message is Don't Look at the Donkey. Now, this is very important, ladies and gentlemen. You know me, I like a little bit of a fun, I like a joke here and there. But this is actually quite important when you realise what I mean by it. We were having a conversation a few days ago, he's not here today, with Alec, about contradictions in the Bible. We were looking at a passage in Hebrews, and it seemed very contradictory. Well, today, there are certain passages, or a particular passage of the entry into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but they might seem contradictory. You see, in Matthew and in Luke, it says this: as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." It's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Same passage in John 12, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Slightly different, isn't it? And then we got Mark. Mark 11 says, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. And just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Four Gospels. Which is right? Are they all right? You get some of these odd contradictions, don't you? Or seeming contradictions. Did Jesus ride two animals at once? Did he ride the donkey or did he ride the colt? That's what it says in Zechariah, which we're going to have a look at afterwards. However, you might wonder whether he rode the colt or not when I show you a picture later. These were eyewitnesses. These four people were with him there at that time. So who's right and who's wrong? The donkey itself. Well, there are lots of symbols in this passage. The donkey is a lowly beast. Simplicity, humility, long-suffering. Not a conqueror's mount like a stallion. The colt. We're told the colt was unbroken. No one had ever ridden it before. Symbols of future generations about to hear the word of God, the gospel. Perhaps another example of Jesus' authority. He managed to ride it without even being broken. It completes the picture of Zechariah's prophecy that Liz read to us earlier on. Seems odd though, doesn't it? Why a donkey? See, we think it's a bit strange that Jesus, riding as king into Jerusalem, should ride an animal like a donkey. If we see the king or the royal family arriving, they arrive in top-class Rolls Royces. If they go to special places, they go in a golden coach pulled by beautiful horses. Actually, the mule was the usual ride of a king in the Old Testament. David rode a mule. Did you know that? He rode a donkey. In 1 Kings 1:32, when David decides to confirm Solomon as the next king, this is what he says. King David said, call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada. And when they came before the king, he said to them, take your Lord's servants with you and have Solomon my son mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, long live King Solomon. Then you're to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah. Hosanna to the king. So it was quite normal for people to ride a donkey. Kings to ride donkeys. We'll come back to that in a minute. This is the passage from Zechariah that we were reading from earlier on. Chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Prophecy of the coming Messiah. It doesn't say he's necessarily entering into Jerusalem, but he says, shout, daughter, Jerusalem, wake up. There are two lines devoted by the donkey, or devoted to the donkey. But look what it says about the king. He's righteous. He's victorious. He's humble. He's peaceful. He will rule the whole earth. He will bring salvation and freedom. Now, the Jews at the time of Jesus were not expecting this, and yet it's been there in their book for hundreds of years. Because they were looking at the situation that they were in. They didn't need a Messiah who was going to be spiritually marvelous for them. They needed somebody to get rid of the Romans. Just to pad out that little bit, Ephraim is the northern kingdom and Judah the southern kingdom. And in that passage, it's telling, God is telling us through his prophet Zechariah that the two will merge into one nation. But different views from different eyewitnesses. We all do it. If there are four people who saw a car accident, you can guarantee that their witness statements will not be exactly the same. Some will have seen something over there. Someone won't have seen that. So don't be too hard on the Gospels. You see, Matthew is intent on emphasizing the prophetic. The king riding on a donkey. Mark, the unbroken nature of the colt. He's the only one who talks about who's never been ridden. John, well, it's simple narrative with John, as fairly usual. And Jesus provides the prophetic message, that ye may believe, is what John says. Let's go back to Zechariah again. The second part of that chapter 9, it's a chapter of opposites. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you a warrior's sword. We don't go on to read that bit usually. It's just the nice prophetic bit that goes into Palm Sunday. But you see, there's war and peace there. There's judgment and blessing. There's the present and the future. In verse 11, the blood covenant was the covenant of the Old Testament, God's past promise. Verses 12 and 13 is about the future and spreading the word peacefully without using people as weapons. You see, he says, and make you like a warrior's sword. He also gives restoration. I'm going to restore you with a double blessing. So yes, it's about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, but it's also about a huge promise, prophetic promise over the whole nation from Zechariah. Not the same picture. You notice what's different? We got two donkeys. You see, there's the donkey and there's the colt. Now, do you think Jesus could have actually sat on that little colt? It would have been a little more humorous than even riding on the mule. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just trying to look at the whole picture. Matthew 21 says, and at once you will find a donkey there with her colt by her. Untie them. Bring them to me. The colt was young. It was still with its mother. Does that give us some inkling of how old the colt was? I'm not a farmer. I wouldn't know. Roger lives in the country. He might have a better idea. Would the colt be strong enough to carry an adult man? But I refer you to my title. Don't look at the donkey. Look at the rider. I'm a big fan of the mobile phone and the internet. No surprise to most of you, I expect, being a bit of a techie myself. But like Liz, I am sick and tired of fake news lately. According to some, King Charles has terminal cancer, is preparing to abdicate in favour of William, who's been having an affair. And that's why we haven't seen Kate since she went into hospital. Fake news. Seems to me these days, if there's nothing happening, we make it up. Now, whatever your thoughts were about how long it took to get a final statement from Kate, I don't know. But my thoughts were, when she gave it on Friday, well, yeah, they needed to know what the whole picture was. It's difficult. I mean, they are the most important family in the country. You do want to know about it. But they deserve privacy just as much as us. And what we get from that is confusion and contradiction. I've seen a number of football managers who've been sacked over the past 3 months who are still in place. Again, fake news. Confusion and contradiction often come when we lose focus on the most important feature. Jesus is King. Salvation has come. No hallelujahs. Fickle was the word Liz used earlier on. Absolutely. We are fickle beings. Those people who on the Palm Sunday were waving palms and throwing their coats on the floor and all the rest of it, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel." Within 4 days were baying for his blood. Were crying out for his execution on a cross. That's people for you. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the King James Version. That's the version I like. NIV says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You know, in times of temptation, the enemy loves nothing better than to throw us into confusion and contradiction. Because it takes our eyes from the most important thing. That Jesus is King. Salvation has come for all who ask. So, my advice to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is don't look at the donkey. Keep your eyes on the rider. Amen.